Imagine you are 243 years old.
Wow, that is a long time.
Right, 243. You're walking around in a permanent mid-20s body. A universal basic income handles every single one of your material needs.
So basically, zero financial stress.
Zero. You've been married 5 times, raised 11 kids, and literally stood on the surface of the moon looking back at the Earth.
Which sounds like an absolute dream life, honestly.
It does. But here is the catch. You are so completely unbearably bored that your AI therapist is recommending you surgically destroy your happiest memories just to feel something again.
Just to feel anything. Yeah, it's wild.
It is. Welcome to today's deep dive, everyone. Our mission today is to unpack this really fascinating short story from September 2025. It's called The Memory Tree by Donald Fire-Smith.
Such a brilliant piece of sci-fi.
Oh, totally. We're going to explore what happens to the human psyche when we achieve, ultimate technological perfection, infinite time, the complete erasure of physical suffering.
And how all of that just gets replaced by a brand new kind of existential dread.
Exactly. We follow this protagonist, Charlotte, who has essentially hit the finish line of human struggle, and she finds nothing but this yawning void waiting for her.
Yeah, and to really understand how a society even reaches a point where someone needs to surgically delete their happy memories, we have to look at the architectural reality of this utopia Firesmith builds.
Right, the world itself.
Exactly. This is a world where advanced AIs and robotics handle all physical and cognitive labor. Every task is just executed better, faster, safer by machines.
So nobody works.
Right. Humanity has been entirely liberated from wage labor. You don't earn a living, you simply exist. The entire focus of human energy has shifted inward toward, personal fulfillment.
Which brings us to Charlotte. She's this 243-year-old woman sitting in a tree-shrouded rooftop park, watching the sunset over the Pacific Ocean.
It's an objectively gorgeous scene.
Visually stunning, right? There's this crimson path of light reflecting on the water. Couples are walking by, all in love. But Charlotte is, she's completely incapable of feeling any of it.
She's just numb.
Yeah. Instead of appreciating the boundless beauty, she feels this hollow emptiness right beneath her ribs.
And this isn't just like a melancholic afternoon for her. She actually has this, well, she has a tiny computer embedded at the base of her skull.
A personal AI, right?
Yeah. It acts as a real-time therapist and life coach. It constantly monitors her neurochemistry, and the AI diagnoses her condition not as a simple chemical imbalance, but as a structural psychological collapse.
Existential fatigue syndrome.
Exactly. EFS.
Which is such a haunting name for a disease.
It really is. And the distinction the AI makes between clinical depression and EFS is super vital here because it actually starts by offering Charlotte antidepressants.
Oh, I think she's just sad.
Yeah, it assumes her limbic system is misfiring, but Charlotte rejects them because she explicitly says she isn't sad. She is empty. Existential fatigue syndrome is this profound, echoing numbness that specifically strikes people over 200 years old.
It's born entirely from repetition.
Exactly. When you have lived for centuries and experienced literally everything the world has to offer, the sheer novelty of life evaporates.
And the AI warns her that this is a recognized psychiatric disorder in their society with a terminal trajectory.
Yeah, it's not something you just live with. If left untreated, the patient inevitably turns to extreme high-risk behaviors.
Like jumping out of aircraft without safety gear.
Right, essentially trying to shock their nervous system into feeling a thrill. Or, tragically, it leads directly to suicide.
Which, when you look at her bucket list, the sheer scale of her exhaustion makes perfect sense. I mean, think about the volume of life experience packed into 5 marriages.
And raising 11 children.
11 kids. She has traveled the globe dozens of times, stayed in an orbiting space hotel.
She literally stood on the moon and saw the Earth as a fragile blue marble hanging in the black velvet void.
Watched the dawn break over the Taj Mahal. Mastered the piano, mastered the violin. Went back to university for every subject that caught her eye.
And now all of it, the memory of the moon just feels completely flat to her, distant and cold.
The Taj Mahal is just a faded postcard in her mind.
Because the human brain simply did not evolve to process an infinite timeline of experiences.
No, we're not built for it.
We structure our entire psychological narrative around firsts.
Right, your first love.
Your first major career success, the first time you see the ocean. We measure the progress of our lives through these novel milestones.
Because our neurological machinery requires friction, right?
Mm.
And new stimuli to produce dopamine and serotonin in meaningful ways.
Exactly. When your timeline stretches into centuries, firsts basically become an extinct resource. The brain adapts to the repetition by just flattening the emotional response.
Even for the big stuff.
Even the huge stuff, like holding her firstborn child, Elena. That terrifying, overwhelming wave of maternal love has just faded into a dull, factual recall.
It really reminds me of playing a video game where you've, like, activated the God mode cheat codes.
Oh, that's a perfect analogy.
You know, you give yourself infinite health, infinite resources, all the best equipment right from the start. And for the first hour, it is exhilarating.
You're completely invincible.
You're invincible. You're reshaping the world however you want. But very quickly, because there is no threat of failure, no struggle, and no friction, the dopamine response completely crashes.
Right. The game becomes meaningless.
Because the mechanics of the game were designed around overcoming obstacles. You take away the struggle to survive, you basically strip the engine of its purpose.
So the big question is, does an infinite, frictionless life inherently destroy the will to live?
Right. And her AI certainly thinks so, which is why it steps in with this radical medical procedure to artificially reintroduce that friction.
Since EFS is such a systemic threat to this perpetually young population, medical science had to engineer a workaround.
And it's a pretty dark workaround, if we're being honest.
It is. The AI suggests repurposing a neurological intervention that was originally developed to treat post-traumatic stress disorder.
Okay, PTSD.
Yeah. Historically, PTSD treatments focused on dampening or erasing a patient's negative, traumatic, episodic memories, right?
To decouple the sensory recall of the triggering event from the emotional panic it caused.
Exactly. But the AI proposes taking that exact same targeted erasure technology and reversing the emotional polarity.
Wait, reversing it?
Yeah. Instead of deleting trauma, the AI wants to surgically delete Charlotte's most pleasurable episodic memories.
It wants to go into her mind and wipe out the happiest moments of her existence. That is, I mean, that's horrifying.
Yeah. But the mechanical logic behind it is entirely focused on manufacturing novelty.
Okay.
By erasing the sensory memory of the sheer wonder of seeing the Taj Mahal or the, you know, the chaotic, vibrant joy of exploring the markets of Marrakesh.
Oh, I see.
The AI argues that Charlotte can then return to those physical locations and experience them as brand new, first-time events.
It's literally a biological reset button.
Yes. It is offering to cure her existential fatigue by systematically destroying the old experiences to make room for artificial firsts.
But, okay, think about taking your absolute favorite movie, like the one that profoundly shaped your sense of humor or your view of the world.
Right.
And deliberately deleting your memory of the twist ending just so you can watch your own jaw drop a second time. It feels deeply unnerving to me.
It definitely raises a massive red flag about the authenticity of the experience, doesn't it?
Exactly. Does the brain know it's being tricked? I mean, you are walking into Marrakesh with the baseline neurochemistry of a 243-year-old who has seen 1,000 other wonders.
Right. You're not actually a blank slate.
So are you actually regaining the magic of a first, or are you just formatting your mind like a crowded hard drive?
Well, Charlotte is paralyzed by that exact same fear. Sitting there in the park, she actually blurts out loud, completely ignoring the people around her. She says, "How the hell can that possibly help?"
She gets it. She sees the gamble.
She totally does. If she deletes the authentic historical magic of seeing the Taj Mahal, there is zero guarantee that the second first time will yield the same awe.
The new experience might fall completely flat,
leaving her with neither the original joy nor a replacement. But beyond the fear of a failed experiment, she is terrified of the architectural damage to her own identity.
Because our memories make us who we are.
Right. She tells her AI, "You'd be chopping pieces of me away. I don't want to become someone else."
And this is where the AI introduces the concept of the memory tree to calm her down.
Yeah. It tries to map out the anatomy of her mind to prove that her core identity will survive the procedure.
But it has to draw a very rigid line between two different types of memory storage,
yeah.
Right? Semantic memory and procedural memory.
Exactly. The AI uses this memory tree metaphor to explain how it can surgically target specific branches without killing the root system of who she is.
Okay, break that down for us. What's the difference?
So semantic memory is your foundational knowledge of facts and concepts. It's the data.
Like knowing the capital of France.
Yes. Or knowing the principles of music theory. Knowing the historical biography of Beethoven, knowing that a piano has 88 keys.
Okay. And procedural.
Procedural memory is the ingrained physical ability to perform a task. It's the muscle memory of your fingers automatically knowing how to shape a chord without conscious thought.
Got it. So applying that to Charlotte's boredom with her own Mastery's music, the AI claims it can erase the procedural memory.
Right, the actual physical ability to play Beethoven's Moonlight Sonata. Her fingers would suddenly feel clumsy and unagitated on the keys.
But it leaves the semantic appreciation completely intact.
Exactly. She still possesses the factual knowledge that the sonata is a masterpiece, and she still knows she loves the sound of it.
So the AI isolates and deletes the physical mastery so she can re-experience the frustrating, rewarding climb of learning it all over again.
That's the pitch, yeah.
But wait, human psychology isn't like a modular filing cabinet where you can neatly separate the physical action from the emotional weight of an event?
It's messy.
Very messy. If you chop off the muscle memory of climbing a mountain and you delete the episodic memory of the exhaustion and the pride at the summit, but you leave the semantic fact that you climbed it,
yeah,
are you not just reading a Wikipedia summary of your own life?
Oh, that's a great way to put it.
Right. You possess the data that an event occurred, but you lack the connective tissue that makes the event meaningful to your identity.
Well, the AI actually anticipates that exact fear. Its counter logic is that preserving the semantic memory acts as a vital psychological scaffolding. Right. The AI argues that it's not leaving you with a Wikipedia summary, it's leaving you with a compass.
Okay, how so?
If the AI completely wiped her memory of music, she might never approach a piano again. She wouldn't know she liked it.
Oh, I see.
By preserving the semantic knowledge that she deeply values Beethoven, the AI guarantees that her fundamental personality traits remain intact.
The semantic memory guides her back to the piano bench.
Exactly. Ensuring she naturally gravitates toward the experiences that will rebuild her procedural skills.
So the AI essentially says, we are keeping the trunk and the roots of your identity perfectly safe. We are only pruning the overgrown branches so they can flower again.
And it gets highly specific about what constitutes the roots of this memory tree.
What's off limits?
It assures Charlotte that any memories involving deep, foundational, interpersonal connections are completely off limits, unless she explicitly demands their removal.
Like her kids.
Right. The memories of her 11 children, the lives she built with her former spouses, those form the deep root system that keeps the entire psychological structure from collapsing into pure amnesia.
And knowing that the root system is protected shifts Charlotte's internal debate. She's still sitting in the rooftop park as the sun finally sets.
Yeah, and the environment around her begins to change. The human crowds thin out, and the city's automated maintenance systems take over.
And she watches this perfectly efficient robot gardener approach a large rose bush near her bench.
This is such a pivotal moment in the story.
It really is. The robot carefully evaluates the plant and deliberately cuts away several branches that have already flowered, leaving the cut stems exposed.
And that visual is the tipping point for her. She realizes the robot is pruning the dead blooms to force the plant to direct its energy into future growth.
But she also recognizes the stark finality of the act. I mean, what is cut away is gone forever.
Yeah. She accepts that to stimulate new emotional growth in her own life, she has to sacrifice something that was once beautiful.
So she agrees to the procedure.
She does.
And then she has to sit there and perform this brutal mental calculus of deciding what gets the axe.
Firesmith uses a really brilliant metaphor here. He describes how Charlotte visualizes her memories as individual, intricate pieces of stained glass.
Ooh, I love that imagery.
It's beautiful. Each one is unique, beautiful, and fragile. And she begins sorting them, deciding which pieces she is willing to shatter.
What does she pick?
Well, she selects the sheer overwhelming wonder of her first trip into space. She marks that for deletion.
Wow. Her first time in space.
Yeah. She also chooses to erase the chaotic sensory overload of exploring the markets of Marrakesh.
Wow.
She decides to let the AI prune away the memory of the sharp, cold air filling her lungs on her first solo hike in the Alps. She voluntarily surrenders the emotional resonance of those massive life events.
But she fiercely protects the sacred pieces of glass, right?
Yes. She draws a hard line around those roots we talked about.
She decides she will never, under any circumstances, surrender the memory of her firstborn daughter Elena's tiny infant fingers curling around her own.
Never.
She refuses to delete the sound of her first husband Robert's laugh or the specific heavy scent of lilacs from their wedding day.
And the taste of fresh strawberries warmed by the sun that she picked with her third husband, Leo.
Right. She designates those as untouchable scaffolding. But the moment she finalizes that list, A deeply heartbreaking paradox hits her.
Yeah, she actually begins to cry.
Because she realizes the true cost of the procedure. She thinks, how can I mourn what I've lost if I don't remember it ever having existed?
It is a profound psychological trap.
It really is. When you delete a memory, you don't even get the luxury of missing it. The grief is erased along with the joy.
You are rendered completely ignorant of your own internal losses.
And looking at the mechanics of this, it seems incredibly likely that Charlotte is just entering a high-tech addiction loop.
Oh, 100%.
She deletes Marrakesh, goes back, and experiences the thrill. 50 years later, the thrill fades again, so she schedules another targeted erasure.
She becomes trapped in an endless cycle of chasing the dragon.
Relying on artificially induced amnesia just to simulate the sensation of a life being lived.
And that addiction loop is the exact danger of treating a philosophical problem with a mechanical solution.
Right. The AI is treating the symptom of boredom without addressing the root cause of an infinite existence.
If we synthesize the broader implications of Charlotte's choice, Firesmith's story acts as a mirror for how we perceive our own limitations.
It makes you appreciate the boundaries.
Exactly. It asks us to recognize the hidden value in the friction of our current lives. The aging process, the fact that our time is strictly finite, the reality that a specific moment is entirely fleeting and can never be perfectly recreated.
Those rigid boundaries are exactly what give our memories their weight.
The story suggests that an infinite, frictionless existence eventually becomes indistinguishable from a completely empty one. The limitations are the canvas that makes the art possible.
Which brings this right back to you, listening to this deep dive. Take a moment to map out your own memory tree.
Yeah, it's a fascinating exercise.
If you were offered this exact procedure tomorrow, with the absolute guarantee that your core identity would survive, which branches would you willingly prune just to feel the rush of the first time again?
And more importantly, what are your roots?
Right. Which pieces of stained glass would you fiercely protect, no matter how heavy the existential fatigue became?
Identifying the memories you refuse to surrender is a profound way of mapping out the exact boundaries of your own identity.
Definitely. And as we wrap up this exploration, I want to leave you with a lingering, nagging doubt that hits Charlotte right at the very end of the source material.
It's a great ending.
As she walks away from the park, having committed to the mental pruning, a thought strikes her. When her memory tree blossomed again, would its fruit actually taste as sweet?
Such a powerful question.
Building on her fear, I want to leave you with one final thought to mull over. Is the true magic of a first time genuinely found in the sensory inputs of the event itself? You know, the sights, the sounds, the rush of adrenaline?
Sure.
Or does the magic solely exist because the moment was entirely unscripted, unexpected, and unplannable?
That's the real dilemma.
Think about the mechanics of what Charlotte is doing. If you literally schedule a memory erasure with an AI therapist on a Tuesday to artificially manufacture a first time on a Friday, does the very act of planning it rob that new memory of its soul?